This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
That is the big story, certainly, that people are talking about across the country. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. But to be sure, we're going to talk about some other things as well, including, woohoo, how about the Vegas Knights? It was all up. Vegas 9-3, they win the Stanley Cup 4-1. Ultimately, was the series. They took care of business against, speaking of Miami, the Panthers. They had no shot against what Vegas was throwing up, the Vegas Knights. So the former president, arraigned, pled not guilty to 37 classified document charges. He was described as sitting in the courtroom a little fidgety, waiting for 15 minutes before the judge was there, and just crossed his arms and kind of kept a scowl on his face, and that was it. Of course, there are no cameras in the courtroom, but it is what has been described as how he looked. He did, like I say, pled not guilty to the charges, and he had lots of supporters that were outside of the Miami courthouse. Nobody got out of control. There were some that held signs, lock him up, but they were completely overwhelmed by the pro-MAGA crowd that was there. There was plenty of security, but again, there was nothing that was out of control, just people that were supporting the president, knowing he was coming in and out of the courthouse. He finished signing a bond paperwork at about 3:30 in the afternoon after it had to be returned to the defense table twice because his lawyers, I guess, didn't sign or initial every line they needed. So basically saying third time is the charge or is the charm and in this charging situation. But the stage is set for a pretty high-stakes public trial where prosecutors are going to allege that the 45th president risked national security by stashing secret papers, thousands of them, in a bathroom, a ballroom, and his bedroom, among other places, months after leaving the White House. The former first president is accused of the federal crimes and could be sentenced to years in prison if found guilty. He publicly attacked the special counsel, Jack Smith, who's leading the investigation, in the hours before his court appearance, calling the veteran prosecutor a thug, a lunatic, in social media posts. Smith, of course, was tapped by the attorney general, who's Merrick Garland, back in November. Sat in the courtroom on Tuesday, but didn't speak during the hearing, so he was there. And then adding to, of course, the circus of all of what's happening, there's other ongoing investigations involving the president, but he is seeking the Republican nomination for president, and he faces a remarkable kind of prospect of sitting there at the table, at the defendant's table for federal and state trials that may overlap with the presidential primaries or nominating conventions. Remember, he was arraigned in April in state court in New York City on the fraud charges stemming from the hush money payment in 2016. He's under investigation in Georgia's Fulton County. The district attorney is weighing whether to charge Trump and his supporters with crimes related to the efforts to undo Biden's 2020 presidential win. And so then there was this in Miami. In each case so far, of course, he's denied wrongdoing, and then he had the legal setback when a federal judge in Manhattan ruled that writer E. Jean Carroll could add new defamation claims to a lawsuit that she filed against him. She recently won a $5 million judgment in a different lawsuit in New York. So there's a lot happening with the former president when it comes to all things legal. But, you know, after the arraignment, the president turned defendant, I suppose that would be an accurate description, dropped by my favorite restaurant in Florida. It's called Versailles, which is a huge, huge Cuban restaurant, and it's definitely a meeting place for Miami's right-leaning Cuban community, and they have the best food, period, in Miami. So he was in there, and people were shaking his hands, wanting to get selfies, and he said, "Food for everybody," and then left and you know, got back on his plane and left Miami. The thing that's going to be interesting to see is how this case is laid out, because we don't know. Like, you can read the indictment, obviously. You can read it. It's thick. But we don't know how this case is being approached, how it's going to play out in a courtroom and before a jury. So now the case moves into what they call the pre-trial phase, which is overseen by the U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, who ruled in the former president's favor during legal skirmishes last year over the FBI's search of his home. The worst it's ever been in New York City. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, we got to start here, folks. I described it the other day as impossible to see. It looked like smoke was being pumped into the city, and not just there, but all the way up and down the East Coast. But it really is particularly gnarly. Oh, I love that word. When it comes to what it looks like outside, I mean, it is smothering the East Coast. This, of course, from the 400-plus wildfires burning across the border in Canada. And it is unfathomable to think about what it is. It really is. I've never seen anything like this. So to give you an idea of how bad, how awful the air is, the mayor of New York City told people, just stay in. Don't go outside. If you don't have to go outside, stay inside, no matter what kind of health that you have. The air quality, the worst air quality that you can have, the measurement of the particles is 500. In New York, at one point, measured at 480. Unheard of. But pretty much 400 the entire day. And it's been that way for the last couple of days. The impact of the wildfire, the smoke,
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
They're chewing on the lines. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, we're back at it again, of course. And talking about the big drama was the Trump arraignment, and now it's just going to play out. The timeline of all the various legal actions, what happens along the road in running for the Republican nomination, and does that interrupt some of the flow of that? It could, depending on the timelines, depending on when all these cases end up, you know, going all the way through, especially this last one. I think it'll overlap probably with most of the primaries. I think it'll just kind of overlap with it. So obviously we'll see. I mean, there's a lot riding on this case, this particular case. I think for sure, absolutely. And he went back to Bedminster and gave a speech that aired live on Newsmax, and said in his speech, this corrupt sitting president had his top political opponent arrested on fake and fabricated charges, of which he and numerous other presidents would be guilty right in the middle of the presidential election, which he is losing very badly. So there it is. What happens, and Trump said they will fail and we will win bigger and better. What happens in this next election cycle? So much is riding on so many different things. And obviously, this is a very, very, very big one in talking about like the Presidential Records Act. And Trump said in his speech, he said, under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal, I had every right to have these documents. The crucial legal part of this is laid out in the most important case ever on this subject known as the Clinton socks case. He said the case is used as legal precedent. That's part of it. It was ruled by a federal judge in 2012 in former President Clinton's case to retain secret presidential tapes in his sock drawer. And so, of course, if you go back to that, which is what he was pointing to in his speech at Bedminster, he said it was not only built, but it never even was considered for criminal prosecution based on the tapes he took when he was sued for them. He won the case. So he had prepared marks. Sometimes he went off script. He was telling stories in the typical kind of rally speech style that he does. And he said the prosecutor, again, he reiterated this a couple times in the case. He said, I'll call it, our case is a thug. I've named him Deranged Jack Smith. So, you know, here you go. And the numbers for him, by the way, and we know we've gone through this, we go through this when we look at the polls, are the highest on the Republican side. Nobody comes even close. The closest would be the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, but he still is far cry from hitting the numbers in the polls of those that would vote for the former president, Donald Trump. And, you know, as he gears up for these legal things that are happening, could 2024, you know, be a surprise or just be a little bump in the road, or who knows? I mean, you can read the very thick documents of the indictment, but it doesn't tell you how it's going to play out. There's no way to have the feel for how that will play out. Just no way to do that. All right, in the meantime, because we're going to keep talking more about this, there were a few other things that happened on the day worth mentioning here. One of them is Cormac McCarthy, who is considered to be one of America's greatest writers ever, died at the age of 89, natural causes, at his home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I liked his work, and some of his novels turned into movies. Blood Meridian, The Road, All the Pretty Horses, you know, No Country for Old Men, that was another one that was huge and went to the big screen. And it won 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. So he definitely has a notch in the American literary circles, for sure, his stories. And you really go back in his career, and he was somebody, it's so funny to watch the beginning, because we talked to so many authors, right? And then when you look at famous people who get to the famous level that he got to, it's interesting. He wasn't a big reader in his childhood. And it wasn't until he served in the Air Force, after he dropped out of the University of Tennessee, that he began reading extensively in his barracks when he was stationed in Alaska. And then after that, you know, he was hooked. He moved to Chicago. He finished his first novel in 61. And that novel, The Orchard Keeper, was published in 65 and became a very well-known, you know, a book. And then there were several others after that. And so it just became that more people were following him. And he continued over the years to hit on some pretty big themes. And No Country for Old Men, for example, in 2005, didn't get a positive critical reception like some of the earlier novels, but then it became a screenplay. The book began as a screenplay. It did well as a movie, like I said, under the Coen brothers. You had Tommy Lee Jones in that and Josh Brolin. It's scary as all get out. And Javier Bardem is the crazy, unforgettable killer. And, you know, a role that won him Best Supporting Actor. But, again, the point is it's interesting to look at this kind of history and seeing how he chased different stories and, you know, ultimately what happened. And so much of his themes were circled around death. I mean, and he had definitely had a lot of violence in his work. And he, you know, he said he didn't know what resonated with him about that kind of a theme, only that he felt death was the principal motif at the heart of all of our lives. He said, death is the major issue in the world for you, for me, for all of us. It just is. To not be able to talk about it is very odd. And so that's it. I mean, so much of his work centered around, in different ways, absolutely centered around death. So rip to one of the great ones, Cormac McCarthy, dead at the age of 89. Speaking of death, imagine you are in a coffin, and of course you're presumed dead, you know, and people are there to celebrate you or mourn you or whatever it is. This happened in Ecuador. There was a 76-year-old woman who was declared dead at the hospital, and there she was in the coffin at her wake, and she was knocking on the coffin, knocking on the coffin. So, of course, they lifted the coffin. Her heart was pounding. Her left hand was hitting the coffin. They called 911 to get her, to bring her back to the hospital. Her son, Gilberto Barbero, put out a video on social media. I think he was so shocked about it. And in the video, people could be seen waiting and supporting Montoya as the emergency services arrived at the scene, taking her back to the hospital bed. She was admitted Friday with a possible stroke and a possible heart attack. And after she didn't respond to resuscitation, the doctor on duty declared her dead. So she wasn't dead. She was in the coffin. They were doing the deal, and she was knocking on it. Oh, what if she wasn't strong enough to do that? I mean, there's so many directions you could take this, but she was, and apparently all signs are good. She's doing okay tonight in that bed, in that room. She could have been resting in a much different place underneath the earth, and that is just a frightening thing to think about. Hey, coming up, we have your thoughts as we're going to hit our traditional mailbag, including this from Ken, who says, wow, it just seems like the former president is going to have to spend a lot of money on lawyers. Where do you think these cases go? Well, that is the big question mark. We're talking about that and taking more of them on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. After his arraignment on federal charges, former President Trump visited a Miami cafe where he posed for photos and received a warm welcome from a supportive crowd.
Are you ready? Food for everyone. Food for everyone.
Trump assured the patrons that he was okay and denounced the charges against him as baseless. The outgoing CDC director is testifying before Congress on the federal response to COVID-19. A House Oversight Subcommittee is reviewing criticized decisions during the pandemic, including mask requirements, school closures, and vaccine mandates. Rochelle Walensky will leave her position on June 30th. An intelligence report has revealed that the U.S. government acquires and retains data on Americans with limited oversight. The report issued by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence highlights the utilization of commercially available data by federal intelligence agencies. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, when I said we were jumping on the flip side to the mailbag, we are, and the virtual mail is everywhere. Thank you for that. You can email me 24/7, k2kdelaneyradio.com. Just click on contact and bada bing, you are in. So Ken was talking about what everybody's talking about, the big question mark. What does this mean? Where does he go from there? What does it mean for the primaries? What does it mean for the presidential race in general? Well, it's going to be status quo, keep on keeping on for his campaign. If anything, too, he's raising more money. He's great at raising money. There's no doubt about that. He's a big war chest. And he went back to New Jersey. And when he returned, he got like a hero's welcome for sure at his New Jersey golf club. And he talked about the political persecution of with this federal indictment. That's what he's talking about. So now it is up to how it plays out in a courtroom. And I said this and I'll say it again and again. You know, you read the indictments, you look at them, you look at the charges, and then it's a question of where, you know, how does it play out in court? And there's just no way to know that. What's behind the witnesses that they're going to call, the witnesses that are people who worked for the former president and one that currently works for him, what are they going to say? And what's possibly going to sway in all these charges a jury to find him guilty of the various crimes? Or crimes, I should say, the various charges related to the whole classified documents. And there's no way to handicap that because you'd have to get inside the mind of a jury that's not even chosen yet. And it let's see how the case is laid out, let's see how the, which is why the president went after the, you know, the prosecutor in this who put the case together, because that's what, how did he pull the case together? What did he get? What does he have? And that is the critical piece of it. The person who puts it together, the person who spells it out and brings the charges ultimately, and Jack Smith, that's Jack Smith. And I have no way to know what's behind the behind. You know, what's behind, he had enough that a grand jury went for the indictment, but then what does that mean as that plays out? How does that play out, right? So I think the deal is this continues, because I had another one from Alicia, another one from Joseph about it, same thing. What do you think the timeline is? And the timeline is that I think, I mean, if I'm, I said this the other day, if I'm Trump, I would want it to go slow. I would want the court battle to go slow so I could get further down the road in my campaign. And I, if I were on the other side of this, or if I were the special counsel, I would want to, who is Jack Smith, I would want the wheels of justice to go faster. So anyway, he attended that arraignment, and he was appointed by the Attorney General in November to lead the investigation into the documents and all of that. And so that's exactly what's happened here. And that's one piece of it. First the indictment, then the jury, then all the things that go into that. So, and listen, the not guilty pleas pertains to 31 counts for the willful retention of national defense information. One count of conspiracy to obstruct justice, one count of withholding a document or record, one count of corruptly concealing a document or record, one count of concealing a document, you get it, in a federal investigation, one count for a scheme to conceal, one count related to alleged false statements. So there you have it in one fell swoop. All right, let's move to Michael, who says, Kate, you should be glad that you do not live in the Lone Star State, as much as I love it. Here we go again with the blasted heat. And who knows what happens with the power, because the demand is up. They're already talking about, please don't push the power up, meaning you might have to take a little heat. And it's supposed to get up to 100 plus later in the week. It's supposed to top out at 100 plus in Houston and Dallas. I just thought you would find that that interesting. Yeah. You know, what happens is, and obviously you know this, that they issue those heat advisories and they open cooling centers, which that happens around the country for people without air conditions. In Houston, passengers that were waiting for flights at George Bush Intercontinental Airport were pretty hot. They were sweltering because the air conditioning system wasn't fully functioning. Whoops. Don't want to fly in and out of there. So they're going to be stretched. The power supply is going to be stretched because the demand is going to hover at a crazy record level again for however many hours. And ERCOT keeps that data. And the margin, the reserve margin, could shrink to as little, they say, as 5.3%, which means not a lot of electricity. You know, this all kicked up, and the awareness of this, because of what happened in that deadly winter storm. And since then, you know, the Texas grid is stretched often. They don't normally see the demand spike this early in the cooling season, however. And they're saying that it's going to feel like it's 114 degrees later in the week, and already is feeling that way. So yikes. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in the middle of that, I have to say, for sure. There's other ways to cool off for me, and it's a different kind of heat. Seems like wherever I live, people are telling me it's a different kind of heat. That's what the scoop is. You won't feel the same, right? Yeah, right. All right, let's move on to this one. This one is from Dutch. Oh, I like that. I bet you that's a nickname. So Dutch says, Kate, I've been following what's happening with the airlines. We just had the one big holiday, and it seems like that went really, really well. I have been saving up, and I'm ready to take the fam on a vacation. So we're flying over the pond for the first time ever. And keep your fingers crossed for me that things go smoothly. How soon would you leave for an airport run if you had to make one these days? You know, they always say that two-hour thing, but if you're saying you're going overseas and you have to have passports and everything ready, it depends. Are you just going straight to the airport and then flying over from there, or do you have to make a jump to another airport? I always think it's just best to get there with enough time. I mean, listen, that's what I would say. The old days, and trust me, I push the envelope constantly on this. The old days of, you know, getting dropped off at the airport, screeching up to the airport, grabbing your bag, running through the terminal, and barely making the flight. But, oh, no problem. We all know that. Those days are done. If you get lucky and you get to an airport and it's relatively early, it's first flight out is always the best. If you can go early in the morning, oh, that's the way to fly. Every time I've gone, I've found that that's what's key. Early, early, early. So that's what I could tell you. I would definitely give myself the buffer. You know, why not? Why have to panic because something happens? And, you know, what's the parking situation and all that other nonsense? Because I've been pinched by that, too, where I thought, oh, there's going to be parking, and then there's no parking. Then I got this one from Elizabeth who says, wow, what happened in Philadelphia with that piece of interstate should make everybody really kind of worry about old interstates and the possibility of things that could happen with some of the off-ramps and whatnot. And certainly that one was an old interstate, but not that piece of it, which is even more frightening, Kate. And it's lucky that more people were not hurt in it other than the truck driver, the guy who was transporting the gallons of gasoline when it crashed and went up in flames under that I-95. You know, I just kind of wonder if it makes you take a look at other roadways in the U.S. Well, yeah, that's infrastructure. Remember that whole thing about infrastructure, all the money that's going to go toward that for bridges and overpasses and you know, whatnot. And, you know, here's the thing. When you look at some of the routes, the thing that you have to look at is what's happening, you know, what's the traffic on those routes? What's happened with the kind of cars or trucks or whatever that are constantly hitting the interstate? And in this case, I mean, this was a freak accident for sure. And it was a tanker truck, and that's the focus, and that's what the National Transportation Safety Board is going to look at. I'll tell you what, though, what's going to be interesting for the people to veer off that for a second, the people commuting there, because I know that area well. I grew up there and took that artery many, many times, is, you know, you're going to have detours, and the biggest detour, it's probably going to be about 23 miles that people are going to have to use state or interstate roads to get around that. Because that's what they'll have to do. I mean, that's a critical artery where typically you'd have maybe 160,000 trucks or cars or whatever go through Philadelphia that way. So yeah, they're rebuilding, but how long is that going to take? I mean, that's the thing. It's crazy. So lucky that nobody else was killed or hurt when that happened. I mean, it backed up traffic, but it could have been a worse disaster if you saw the smoke that was billowing all over the place and other people had just gone by and seen in their rearview mirror what was happening behind them. So it's going to be a wicked, wicked ripple effect. Once again, you can email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Coming up, UBIs, as I like to call them. Ubiquitous bits of information that will blow your mind.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Pal D'Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pal D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pal D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
About retiring and think about what's happening now with retirees. Recently we've had this conversation, research showing that retirees are putting themselves first and limiting financial support to adult children. So we have with us two people who know all about this, Lena Haas, principal and head of wealth management for Advice and Solutions, Edward Jones, and Ken Dykewald joins us too, founder and CEO of AgeWave. Thank you both for coming on.
Great to be here.
Hello, thanks for having us.
So, Lena, let's start with you, and Ken, I'll get your opinion on this too. What are the four key areas to ensure you have a successful retirement? That is a very big question.
Yes, we've heard from both retirees and pre-retirees that there are four interwoven essential ingredients to optimal well-being in retirement. We call them four pillars. Those are health, family, and how you plan to spend time with those you love, purpose, having a meaning in your life, and finances.
All right, so and now you heard what I said in the beginning, and you two certainly know, if we're seeing now that you've got retirees saying that they're not worried about change and that they can handle curveballs thrown their way and that kind of thing, what have you seen that's different, Ken, lately with people who are retiring?
Yeah, so it's a totally fascinating thing that's going on, because when our grandparents were retiring, first of all, they only expected to live a couple of years, and they usually saw it as the time to kind of wind down. What we've seen in this brand new Edward Jones research, with 12,000 people, and we've done three major studies now, so over 30,000 people, is that today the average 50 or 60 year old is thinking about retirement as a whole new chapter in life. So rather than a time just to wind down, it might be a time to play guitar. It might be a time to work at the church. It might be a time to join a softball league. It might be a time to become an entrepreneur. The other thing is that people are beginning to realize that retirement might not be 5 or 6 years, but it might be 20 or 30 years. And to your first point, a lot of folks are scratching their head and saying, you know, I don't ever want to be a burden on my family. On the other hand, I'm not sure I can continue to subsidize my kids as much as I've been doing, and I may need to pull back on that a little bit.
Yeah, and wow, that study, 30,000. Obviously, you've got some great data there, for sure. Lena, were you surprised by what you found out?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that people are taking action into their own hands. Vast majority of those surveys said that really the difference between surviving in retirement and really thriving, it's the mindset. It's the ability to take life as it comes, but make course corrections, adjust, act. So I thought that was really, really great to see. I was also surprised that contrary to a lot of headlines out there that say that maybe young people are having all the fun, people in retirement are sharing that they actually happier, more resilient, less anxious than the younger people. And so that combined just made me feel really, really positive that if someone really plans ahead, works with financial advisors, thoughtful about what they do, you know what? They're going to have a great time in retirement.
Let me add a little bit to what Lena just said, that what we saw was that not only was there kind of a new generation of retirees stepping up, you know, the boomer generation, who are more inclined to kind of want to have a grand go of it in their later years versus, you know, having a time on the rocking chair. They also realize that they probably haven't saved enough, but they're willing to make changes, as Lena referred to them, as course corrections. So and they may be willing to downsize their home. They might even be willing to work a few extra years. If their health is not what it ought to be, they might be willing to get a little more fit. If their family is important to them but lives at a distance, they might be willing to relocate to be near family. So we saw not only a positive and hopeful attitude towards one's later years, but also a willingness to make changes if necessary, which our parents and grandparents were far less inclined to be willing to do.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks for adding that, Ken. And Ken, what advice would you have along those lines for retirees who are planning to retire? What would you tell them?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I am a gerontologist and psychologist by training, so apologize if I lean a little bit in that direction. I was taken by, actually initially went to school to be a physicist, I was taken by the Apollo launches, which some of us can remember. And to my amazement, when I did some homework, I saw that these expeditions were their most planned expeditions in history, but 97% of the time the rockets were off course. And so the Apollo missions were continual exercises in course correcting. And I think it's the same with our lives. If you think that you just keep your fingers crossed and everything works out fine, you may be surprised to find that life's got curveballs and cannonballs and also windfalls that come your way. And in our report, we looked at about 60 course corrections that people can make and which ones have the biggest impact. So one thing is to realize it's okay if you need to make changes. The second thing is working a little bit longer for many people seemed to be a way to handle the fact that they hadn't saved enough. And it might only be a couple, three extra years to build up that, you know, savings pile a little bit. Also, we found, and I don't work for Edward Jones, but I'm going to say this anyhow, that folks who had a financial advisor, somebody kind of in the corner with them, somebody as a guide to tell them, you know, back away from supporting the kids a little bit so that you can have more in your later years. you might need to work a little bit longer. Maybe it's time to think about getting a housemate or downsizing your home. Having that professional with a wider toolbox, a more holistic look at life planning, not just the money, but finance, family, purpose, and health, could go a long way.
Wow, I think that is great advice. And so following up on that, too, and wrapping this up, Lena, where can we go for more information?
Yeah, you could go to edwardjones.com, new retirement. There's a wealth of information there. And I'll just add really quickly to what Ken just said. We also saw that it's almost never too late to make course corrections and get on the right track. Lots of people think that if I haven't started to save diligently right after college, should I even bother? And we saw that in retirement, and certainly leading up to retirement, even relatively minor adjustments can make a huge, huge difference. So very much encourage folks out there to create a plan and get on the right track.
Yeah, great information. Lena and Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, tail end of the show. I'm going to tease UBI's coming up in our next hour. Ubiquitous bits of information. Jeremy Paulson, our Cracker Jack technical man for this show, will join me for that. But I have a couple of preview UBI's. Really, it's just fun facts. So, fun fact, I said this a couple of shows ago, there's a day for everything. Did you know that today is National New Mexico Day? I love New Mexico. I lived in Albuquerque, and I explored all over the place. And I took a vacation maybe 2 years ago where we went to Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Taos. Put it on your list. You can drive there from wherever, and it won't break the bank, and you see some mind-blowing, beautiful things. You really, really do. It is also National Strawberry Shortcake Day. I'm not into strawberry shortcake. You know, I'm not into sweets that much. That's not my Achilles heel. It's salt, right? I'll take guac and chips any day over National Strawberry Shortcake Day. But there are a lot of people who like strawberry shortcake. It is very, very popular, and you see it on a lot of menus where they have all kinds of desserts. So I get it. It's been around for a while. It's a treat. It's sweet, and if you like sweet things and you like strawberries, you probably really, really like it. If you like bourbon, it's your day, National Bourbon Day. Ooh, I'm not a bourbon drinker. I have tried it. I get it. In the mid-1700s, Scots-Irish settlers really brought that to bear in Virginia and Kentucky. They were distilling it. And so bourbon is the drink that a lot of people like. But for me, I got to take a pass on that one. My friends, be safe, be sane, be happy. This is the way.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.